Welcome back. Tonight, we're with Frank Lee and Ali Burbrink, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. This is Red Barn Radio.
My own true love got drowned in the deep, and the ship never got to the shore. Times around turned the gallant old ship. Yes, three times around turned she. And as she turned the third time around, she sank to the bottom of the sea. Oh, the waves on the sea, how they roll. And the chilly winds, how they do blow. My own true love got drowned in the deep. And the ship never got to shore.
You're listening to Red Barn Radio, and tonight our guests are Ali Burbrink and Frank Lee. I would love to hear you tell some, maybe trace your musical history in sort of a brief form, and then we'll move on and talk about some other things about your instruments and.
Gosh, music stuff going on with my family, singing and piano in the house, and a neighbor who had a collection of music, and I was exposed to tons of folk music back when I was just a kid, and some hopping folk music, lots of great stuff.
Only because it's important for context, may I ask you, at what time were you growing up?
Well,
yeah. During what years were you in your teens?
I'm trying to think. Lincoln had just got out of office.
Don't you like I didn't ask how old are you?
I grew up. I was born in 1958.
Okay.
So that's a lot like 1959, but it's not.
Yeah.
But in the 1960s, 1970s, I was getting to hear some really classic, honestly, some classic bluegrass. And it was really early bluegrass, so I really consider it folk music.
And that was where?
It was at my house, and my neighbor was an audio engineer. And in the early 1960s, he had separate audio components, like in the 60s, like a coffee table bass response, and he had different components for amp and turntable, when everybody else had consoles in their houses. And he kept, Ralph Stanley cranked up as loud as that thing would go. Everyday exposure to rural music for me, in a time when I was just a kid listening to whatever was on the radio.
That was in Georgia.
It was, south of Atlanta, and it was really happy banjo music I was hearing from my neighbor's house, and it had to influence me. So I broke my femur in my left leg racing motorcycles, and this was in the 70s, and my father showed up at the hospital. While they had me pumped up on morphine, he handed me a banjo while I was in traction. And I laid there studying the banjo for a few more weeks while I was in the hospital. Went on to college then. It was a great way to entertain people with a banjo.
So do you attribute your interest in the banjo to your injury or to the morphine that you took because of your injury?
Well, my mom dropped an iron on my head when I was a little bitty kid, is what the banjo is really all about. But I don't know what came about. The happy sound of the banjo just spoke to me, and it speaks to so many people right now. I just think it's a wonderful thing. Everybody needs to have a banjo.
Well, as a sailor and a soldier were traveling one day, said the sailor to the soldier, let us kneel down and pray. We'll pray for the welfare and the good of all men, and to everything I say to you say amen. We'll pray for the young boys that stay home and plow and gain their maintenance by the sweat of their brow. Good luck and good fortune them always attend, and money aplenty, said the soldier, amen. We'll pray for the young girls that stay home and spin, nor go to night parties as all us have been. Good luck and good fortune them always attend, and sweethearts to court them, said the soldier, amen. We'll pray for the old miser with his hands full of gold. He neither spends it nor lends it nor gives to the old. Bad luck and bad fortune him always attend, and Satan to get him, said the soldier, amen. So as the sailor and the soldier were traveling one day, said the sailor to the soldier, let us kneel down and pray. We'll pray for the welfare and the good of all men, and to everything I say to you say amen.
How long did it take you to get really good at it?
I don't know. I never like to think I'm really good at anything, you know, but I got to where I could get my way around on a banjo in a couple of years and 3 years, and I was playing and entertaining people and being able to be in bands and just really driven to play my banjo for people, I will admit it.
And were you playing Scruggs style?
I very much was. I heard some of the banjo fiddle duet in an old-time context, actually just an old-time format. There was a banjo and a fiddle, and so the banjo was mimicking this fiddle's melody, very much supporting the fiddle, and I realized that that was what I was always wanting. Even in bluegrass, I loved those banjo fiddle duets in that bluegrass format, but the rhythmic contribution of the banjo is a little bit different than a finger picking. When you're frailing, there's some definite offbeat brushes, and it's a different monster making noise, finger picking or making noise frailing. So
yeah, and I would imagine just, you know, sonically hearing old time music, for someone who's got the kind of musical brain you obviously have playing all these instruments, and I can understand how it might have been to you a little more interesting. I think of old time music as having, you know, a variety of tunings, for instance, which you would never hear in bluegrass music.
To me, it's the simplicity of it. It's like in a old time music format, there are melodies to pieces that we'll sit down and play. There's a definite melody to that piece. And so in an old-time jam session, the people will know that melody, and they will support that melody, and they will present that melody to the best they can. And it's not so much outside of an old-time format because of improvising. You know, in jazz music, they improvise over the melody. In bluegrass music, there's a lot of improvising over the melody. But in old-time music, you take all you got, and you just give it to the melody. You make the melody shine. It's not so much about, like, look what I can do. It's so much like, look what I can do to present this melody. It's kind of like that. As far as somebody looking at you in a jam session, I don't know what you were doing. So you were mentioning earlier about
that. I think I was just playing too loud or something. Well, I'm not sure what it was. I thought I was the best person in the jam, but I don't know.
Oh, can't nobody hide.
How did the Freight Hoppers come to be?
I had an opportunity to go and play music for the tourists who come to Bryson City, North Carolina, and they ride the Great Smoky Mountain Railway, which is a train excursion that goes around the southern border of the Smokies. And it's a good, fun time. I got a job on salary entertaining these people, four sets of music a day, 7 days a week. Me in different configurations initially, but ultimately this four-piece unit that became the Freight Hoppers. And we just became so hyper rehearsed doing all those shows every day. When it came time to really take the music away from that depot and go present it to music lovers, we didn't even realize how rehearsed we were until we put it in front of some people that really appreciated it. So it was kind of easy to get out of that environment of playing for tourists and then going and taking it and playing for music lovers. So we had different personnel coming in since about 2003. Right now the configuration includes Allie. So me and her are half of the Freight Hoppers. So what you see here right now, if you can imagine a fiddle player that's crazy hillbilly, just sawing like crazy, and then a big upright bass, it's like this big full sound of fun stuff.
What did the Freight Hoppers do for old time music?
We were able to find a place at bluegrass festivals for one thing. Like a slice of the bluegrass audience accepted us, right? So we found jobs at bluegrass festivals. Because of our harmonies, we had slick enough harmonies to be in front of a bluegrass crowd.
Three part?
No, but it was still duo, enough harmony that the bluegrass crowd would appreciate. We're singing like traditional duets and stuff with full band accompaniment. So my point is, we found a place at bluegrass festivals and in bluegrass venues. And then the other old-time units followed us because they were, you know, there were opportunities.
You have just a museum of fine instruments up here between the two of you. It looks like the average age looks to be about 100.
This is a 1932 National Duolian. It's got a resonator, an aluminum cone in there, and it was made back at the same time, like Victrolas. So this thing is not got any kind of speaker or anything. I mean, it's like a Victrola. So when they were made to be really loud, this thing can be really obnoxious. And this is a 1912 Gibson L Junior. So it was like a really cheap Gibson in 1912.
It's like a student guitar type?
Yeah, pretty much. There's no binding or anything fancy. And it's an arch top with a round hole, which is, you don't see that a lot, but there are guitars out there like that. My friend in France made a few banjos, and then a banjo builder in the town I live in, I've got it. Got another fretless that our librarian in town built me that I play all the time.
That fretless and your other banjo, Allie, are the newer instruments?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, my banjo is a gold tone, and I got it in 2012 or so after being at the John C. Campbell Folk School. That's how I realized, oh, I need a different banjo. So I got that one. And then what I'm playing here on guitar, this is a late 30s Kalamazoo, and it's little, cute, and old.
Made by the Gibson Company?
Made by the Gibson Company. It has a sunburst effect. It has a lot of scratches. It's been well loved. Not by me yet. I've only had it since maybe April. But I love it.
Is it important to play old-time music on old instruments?
It is to me, but not the next person, obviously, really. They sound different to me. It's always entertaining for people to see these instruments. It kind of comes from the same decades that our music came from that we're presenting. It's just kind of an added dynamic for entertainment for me. This is good for me spiritually, having these things that I love, and they sound so great, so it's a good thing for me to have these instead of something I bought off the shelf last week in town, you know.
Yeah, indeed.
Since Frank was one of my banjo teachers, it's a real privilege and an honor to get to play banjo with him on occasion. So he taught me this next tune. This is No Words, so that means it's a tune. I'm playing my gold tone, a steel string fretted banjo, which is pretty standard looking banjo, except it has an open back. And Frank is playing his nylon string banjo that has a high action, which means the strings are really far off the fingerboard. And he has this like skin looking head on it and this big old fat neck on it like a baseball bat. And so what all that equates to is that he's in a different tuning than I am. He's tuned down lower, so his banjo's making lower noises and mine's making higher noises, plus I'm capoed up. And what all that equates to is a lot of confusion. Sing you another one that is a cappella. A cappella is Latin for no banjos.
That's true.
God spoke to Hezekiah
in a message from on high. You better set your house in order, for the child shall surely die. And he turned to the wall to weep, and his eyes were filled with tears. He got his business fixed all right, and God spared him 15 years. There's a little black train coming. Get all your business right. You better set your house in order, for the train may be here tonight. And there's a poor young man in darkness who cared not for the gospel light, until suddenly a whistle blew from the little black train in sight. And oh, death, will you not spare me? Well, I see my wicked ways, and I pray the Lord have mercy. Come and set me free. But death had fixed its shackles upon his soul so tight that before he got his business fixed, the train pulled in that night. There's a little black train a-coming. Get all your business right. You better set your house in order, for the train may be here tonight. There's a rich old fool in his mansion. He said, I have no future to fear. My barns are overflowing, and I'll live for many long years. And I sure have plenty of money, and none but myself to please. And I've filled my barns and larders, and I expect to take my ease. But while he stood there pondering, the God of power and might said, you rich old fool at the judgment bar, your soul's required tonight. There's a little black train a-coming. Get all your business right. You better set your house in order, for the train may be here tonight.
I would like to thank our guests, Frank and Allie, for being with us tonight on Red Barn Radio. We thank our volunteers for their help with our production each week, Cheryl Renfro, Adam Schrodinger, Kate Heinenen, and David Kelleher. We also thank those of you listening to our webcast and those listening to us on the Red Barn network of stations. Of course, members of our studio audience, we thank all of you for supporting the mission of Red Barn Radio, which strives to present, promote, and preserve the rich musical tradition of this Kentucky region and the South. Red Barn Radio comes to you from our home, the Performance Hall at Arts Place in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. Our website has updates and further information on our guests and our program. We're on the web at redbarnradio.com. Be sure to check social media and our main page for more program information and updates. And now, once again, let's hear it for Frank Lee and Allie Burbrink.
cowboys, don't you wanna go? Come meet the Lone Ranger on the range of the buffalo. Come on, ki-ki, come on, ki-ki. Come on, ki-ki, come on, ki-ki.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank Frank and Allie for being with us tonight.
The word gourmet means higher quality or unique, and the food at West Coast Gourmet Pizza lives up to that name. From sandwiches to salads and pizza, West Coast Gourmet Pizza has it all. For more information, westcoastgourmetpizza.com.
Campus Computer Repair Service is Red Barn Radio's computer maintenance source. They've been recognized as one of the top 5% of all computer repair providers in the country. For more information, they're on the web at campuscomputerrepair.net. Trails End Life is Red Barn Radio's video producer. Trails End is on the web at trailsendlife.com. Red Barn Radio is produced and directed by Ed Commons. Our associate producer is Brad Becker, who also hosts our program. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. You'll find dates and times and more information at redbarnradio.com. And you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. The Red Barn Radio Playout theme was taken from a live performance of The Wooks here on Red Barn Radio. For more information on the band, they're on the web at wookoutamerica.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here on this station next week at the same time with the music of Kentucky. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio was brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. The Paducah Visitors Bureau, Paducah, Kentucky, a UNESCO creative city of crafts and folk art, connects you to your creativity. Visit online at paducah.travel. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.